You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to NFL Live. We're so glad you're with us, everyone. Hey, week 13 still isn't over yet. Coming up. Don't do that. Reason to think the Cowboys could maybe give the Ravens a little trouble tonight. Dan Orlovsky, Mina Kimes, Marcus Spears is here. Let's get to this Cowboys-Ravens game, guys, in just 3 hours. Dan, what are you watching out for in a typical 2020 Tuesday night football?
Yeah, all eyes on that defense, all weight on that defense in Baltimore. And it's not just playing well. They got to play to set that offense up with short fields. They got to be motivated to score themselves. We know some of the injuries on that offense. So they got to carry this football team, creating turnovers and creating short fields for the offense tonight and moving forward.
I'm watching rookie running back J.K. Dobbins. It's been a committee in Baltimore so far this year. But as Dan said, this team is injured. You need to take over in this game because this Dallas run defense was last seen in Antonio Gibson's rearview mirror. This is a tremendous opportunity for the young back.
Oh, what up, Dez B? This big bro.
Throwback.
Hey, listen, I know you're going back to Dallas. I know you want to show off. You've been around this Ravens organization now. I just hope that Greg Roman has a plan for Dez Bryant in this game, not only to help Lamar Jackson possibly, but to also look for another weapon that we've been screaming that the Baltimore Ravens need. I hope the X is thrown up tonight, y'all.
Hey, South Valentino in Baltimore and just 3 hours away from kickoff. What should we know, Sal, about the time off for the Ravens?
Laura, moments ago, I talked to someone high up in the Ravens organization who said the team is, quote, very anxious to play in this game tonight, unquote, against the Dallas Cowboys, especially on defense. Tonight, they get back Brandon Williams, defensive tackle, who's been out with an ankle injury, and Calais Campbell, defensive end, who's been out with a calf injury. They will start in the same game for the first time since November 8th, and that was the last time the Ravens won a football game. Laura?
All right, more Sal Pal coming later in the show. Now let's get to Adam Schefter. Lamar Jackson off the reserve COVID-19 list, expected to start tonight. But what should we be looking out for, Adam, out of the Ravens quarterback in just a couple hours?
Look, Laura, he's bouncing back from the virus. And it's hard to forecast how each player responds to that virus. And if you speak to people around the league, executives and coaches and other teams, they say their players sometimes have struggled in their returns. They've had to deal with stamina and conditioning issues. Some players have lost weight. Lamar Jackson already was a fairly thin player playing the quarterback position. And I think the Ravens tonight don't know exactly what they're going to be getting from Lamar Jackson. And I think there'll be a question as to whether he can play the full game, whether he'll play three quarters of the game, whatever it may be. But they'll be watching him tonight to see how he responds in his first game back from the virus. And the fact that this game was moved to this date, Tuesday night, as opposed to being played last Thursday night, gave Lamar the chance to play. But the question is how he plays and how much he plays. And we'll get an idea of that tonight once the game kicks off at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, Adam, the Ravens looking to avoid their first four-game losing streak since 2016 tonight. More from you coming. Mina, how big a deal is it if Lamar can't play the whole game tonight?
It's a huge deal. I mean, there are already so many players out or banged right. up mm-hmm. on this offense. They're missing Mark Andrews, probably his most important weapon. Willie Snead, who's been a real outlet for him. And as I mentioned earlier, with respect to J.K. Dobbins, the weakness of this Dallas defense has been stopping the run. Baltimore's run game is predicated on Lamar Jackson being on the field. You know, yes, J.K. Dobbins is a great young back. I like Gus Edwards, but they're so helped by Lamar also being in that offense. Without him, suddenly you have questions like, what is this offense? What is their identity? How are they going to put it all together? Dan mentioned earlier that the defense, it's really on them to win this game, but they're still going to have to put some points on the board.
Yeah, my mind goes to two areas. Number one, this isn't a must-win game, but it's a must-win game for Baltimore. And I don't know Lamar personally, but I know he's a ridiculously intense competitor. I'd be shocked if Lamar didn't find a way to play in this game and play as well as he possibly could. I'll play the game that if he doesn't or can't. Trace McSorley is the backup now, RG3 on IR, right? So Trace McSorley is still a young player, but he was one of those quarterbacks that, you know, played the quarterback run, the zone read game. He was at Penn State with Saquon Barkley playing under Joe Moorhead. I called a game of his. So the at least the scheme of the offense can remain somewhat the same. You're not going to have the same threat, obviously, with Lamar. But I think Lamar will find a way as a competitor playing this game. And if he can't, Trace McSorley at least can go in and plug and play, and they won't have to change a ton offensively.
He's going to want to go. And listen, I'm thinking back to an NFL live show we did when Cam Newton came back. And how many times did I text you? He looks lethargic, slow, like just his anticipation. I don't know that. I'm not trying to tell y'all, America, that I know that Lamar Jackson is going to respond that way. But if there will be signs if he is suffering from kind of the remnants of dealing with COVID. On the flip side of that, it's Greg Roman's responsibility.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, if you want to be a playoff team, if you want to have the opportunity, and look, it's the Cowboys, right? So you're not about to play world beaters. But Greg Roman has to be able to suffice while Lamar Jackson is out. We saw Kansas City without Patrick Mahomes. We watching the Saints right now without
Drew Brees. He's got to have his best game of the year.
Got to have your best game of the year. So, look, for all the pressure that may be on players, this is about Greg Roman.
Let's bring Adam Schefter back in one more time with a little more on this.
Yeah, I just want to clean up and make one point. He's playing tonight. That's not the issue, okay? Lamar Jackson is going to be out there. The question is how effective he'll be when he's out there and how long he'll be able to stay out there. In a perfect world, he plays the full game and looks like Lamar Jackson and lights it up. That's what the Ravens are hoping. But I think they don't know exactly what they're going to be getting from him tonight, and that's what makes it a big question mark going into the game.
Just a few more hours until that game. Breaking news here on NFL Live Now, and we'll continue with Adam for that. Jalen Hurts making his first NFL start Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. Carson Wentz will back up Hurts, and Eagles head coach Doug Peterson said he's looking for a spark. Hopes that can come from the rookie quarterback. Adam, we saw Hurts in a small sample size last Sunday. How did Peterson come to making this call to start Jalen Hurts?
Laura, I don't think it was a difficult decision to have to make. As much as they've invested in Carson Wentz in terms of picks and money, the fact of the matter is he's regressed this year. He's looked gangly out there. He's looked uncoordinated out there. He's looked unproductive out there. And when they put in Jalen Hurts on Sunday, he responded a little bit. The team responded a little bit, and they felt like they got a spark. Now, I don't know that Jalen Hurts is capable of taking this team to the NFC East title. We're about to find that out starting Sunday against the Saints. But they believe that the best move for this team right now that gives it the best chance to win on Sunday and perhaps even going forward is turning to Jalen Hurts. And it was not as if it was just a Doug Peterson decision. The owner, Jeffrey Lurie, believed in this decision. The other people in the organization believed in this decision. So it was time in their minds to turn to Jalen Hurts to see what he can do. Carson Wentz now goes to the bench, Laura.
All right, so we also wanted to point this out. With the second week of December for Carson Wentz has not been good. You look at that, December 10th, 2017, torn ACL ends his season. Then December 9th, 2018, the back injury ends his season then. And then December 8th, 2020, bench for Jalen Hurts. So second week of December in 2021, we'll see what it looks like for Carson Wentz. One of the things that I think was really important there that Adam brought up, Dan, is that Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, signing off on making this change to Jalen Hurts, not that complicated of a decision for Doug Peterson.
I mean, the play kind of brought it to that. Listen, you guys know I'm going to be passionate about this, right? So, all right, the reason they are in this situation, the Eagles organization, everybody has their hand in it. Everybody, the general manager, the head coach, the front office for putting the roster out there, and that includes the quarterback. I mean, his play opened up the door for this decision and for this decision to be easy. If you play sports long enough, you're more than likely going to get benched, right? I've been benched before. A lot of us who have played for a long time, it happens. Number one, you have to look in the mirror and figure out why did it happen? Like, what did I do to allow this to happen? You have to take accountability of it. You have to take ownership of it. And then two, you better start quickly focusing on what to do next. You know, he's got to earn. Carson Wentz has to earn the trust of his teammates back. He does. He's got to earn the trust of the head coach back, whether it's this head coach or somebody that might be next year. He's got to earn the trust of the general manager back. And it's got to be vice versa as well. And so there needs to be ownership by everybody in that organization. And I'll be frank, it has to start with Carson Wentz for this situation.
Yeah, look, I know it's breaking news and we're excited. This is normal football procedure. Dude, you're not helping us win. Like, y'all know me. It's very simple for me. A $100 million quarterback is going to get every possible excuse exhausted to not remove him from the game.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz just got rid of all those excuses. And look, we can pile on about his play, and we do that. We analyze, we critique, we critical at times when quarterbacks aren't playing up to speed. But to me, this is such a simple move. This didn't take an act of Congress. Turn on the film from the last 4 to 5 weeks and look at the way Carson Wentz has been playing. Jalen Hurts is not in a great position either. But Carson Wentz damn sure wasn't in one, and he wasn't showing any progression. And I think what happened between Doug Peterson, this front office, and Jeffrey Lurie is they were waiting to see if a corner would be turned.
Yeah, if you play
hoping. And now you got to go with Jalen Hurts.
All right, so Jalen Hurts, Mina, hey, welcome to the NFL, man. You're getting your first NFL start against the Saints. How tough of a matchup is that for Jalen Hurts?
Brows up.
So I was in favor of this move. I thought Jalen Hurts did spark the offense. I thought his mobility is really key, especially with that decimated offensive line. But he is walking into the Lions den, and not the Detroit Lions, because that would be easy. He is playing
unnecessary
the toughest defense in the NFL right now. I mean, look at this. This is since week 9. 2 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
Oh.
And Carson Wentz would get his butt kicked against the Saints, and there's a good chance Jalen Hurts does too, let's be real, and it's through no fault of his own. But I ask this of the fans and of the Eagles organization. Don't let this be his only start, because it's not a fair and legitimate test of his abilities, and it's not going to allow him to develop as a quarterback. It's going to be his first start, but it shouldn't be his last one.
Let's get back to the game from last night. Mina, why is the Bills' pass game so hard to defend?
I know we're going to get to the game. I will. But Rainn Wilson's character, he's like the weird, awkward nerd, goofy. You might be able to relate. Look.
I really tried to move us along.
They won because Josh Allen played out of his mind. Okay, let's call a spade a spade. Josh Allen was absolutely incredible. He was amazing. He was cerebral. He was poised. He was accurate. He was patient, which is a thing he hasn't been in the past. But they also won because of the team that's been assembled around Josh Allen. I have praised GM Brandon Bean to no end this offseason, and you really saw it on display against San Francisco, because this combination of receivers is so hard to defend.
Yeah.
If you play man, the route-running king, Stephon Diggs, is going to kill you and put you in a blender. If you play zone, the short king, Cole Beasley, is going to find the soft spots in that defense, as he did in the first half over and over and over. There are no right answers. Now, they're not unstoppable. I think a team that would maybe has a better chance of setting the edge against Allen than San Francisco did would put up a better fight. But, boy, that offense is terrifying.
Yeah, you're no Pam Beasley yourself. But
you don't even know who that
is.
Somebody said that into his ear,
by the way.
Thank
you,
Eisman. No idea. Yeah, that's our producer, Mark Eisman. Go ahead, Dan.
I don't want him.
I'll be a professional here. What I love about where the offense is right now, and it kind of was really on display last night, was they give him a lot of power at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Like those pieces that they move around, they'll motion guys, the back out of the backfield to gather information, the tight end to gather information. That's empowering for a quarterback. Like when the quarterback can stand at the line of scrimmage like Josh Allen does, and he goes, oh, I know what defense you're in, then you feel like incredibly confident. He feels like Superman. Like there's not a throw that he can't make, because he knows exactly what coverage you're in, where the ball needs to go to. And Brian Daboll does a great job of giving him that ability. It's very similar to what Patrick Mahomes gets in Kansas City. You know, you expedite the thought process, and that's what they do a lot. Now, how do you stop it? Because you bring up a great point, Mina, about like the man versus the zone. And everyone's initial thought is like, you got to have a guy that can cover Stephon Diggs. I don't think that's the answer. It's almost like the New England thing from back in the day. Like, you got to put your number 2 corner on Stephon Diggs. You got to play man. You got to put your 2 corner on Diggs with a little bit of help, and you got to believe that your 1 corner, your number 1, can absolutely lock down Cole Beasley. If you can do that, you can slow this offense down. There's just not a lot of teams who can.
All right, so we all agree that the best team in the AFC is the Chiefs, obviously. So are the Bills the second best team in the division?
Ooh. Based on last night, yes.
Put a sandwich to chest.
This offense can be unstoppable. and there's a caveat, obviously. I mean, look, last night was not indicative to what they'll face going forward. When you have, I love the fact that y'all talking about man and zone. But you could play the greatest man and the greatest zone in football history. If it ain't no pressure on the quarterback, he going to gut you this league.
Yeah.
Especially with the type of talent that Josh Allen has. So that's the ultimate equalizer when you playing against the Buffalo Bills and you try to, you know, ask yourself, who are those teams that can generate that type of pass rush? And then you got to go to, well, he's athletic too.
Yeah.
He can improvise and make plays off script. So, yeah, I would feel comfortable saying the Bills are the second best team. It's tough for me to say that.
I like it.
But
as you said it, it gave Mina did a little shoulder shimmy, so I think she agrees. New on NFL Live right now, Arizona Cardinals have activated wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald from the reserve COVID-19 list. On Sunday, they're taking on the Giants. Marcus is saying that's huge. Just another weapon and a veteran weapon in that offense for Kyler Murray, who's struggled of late.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Okay, with the Steelers' loss on Monday, ESPN's Football Power Index now has the Chiefs as the favorites to get to the top seed in the AFC, giving them a 54% chance to do so. The Steelers currently remain the top seed in the conference based on their win percentage in the AFC as they're 8-0 in the conference play, while Kansas City's only loss, of course, this season was to the Raiders. How concerning, Dan, was last night's performance for the Steelers for you?
It's not concerning for me. Like, what I'm shocked at is, like, offensively, it's not. What I hear everyone talking to, like, man, the Steelers can't run the ball. Have you watched them all year?
Yes.
The Steelers don't throw the ball downfield. Have you watched them all year? They got to 11-0 with this. Here's the thing. They are a 3 yards in a cloud of dust offense. It's just they do it through the air rather than the ground. And when you do it on the ground, there's no chance, or there's a very little chance of, you know, negative plays. But when you do it through the air like they do and the drops happen, you get consistently out of rhythm. Like, they're so predicated on 3 or 4 yard completion, 3 or 4 yard completion. And it's been really efficient for them this year. But when those drops show up, they get behind the sticks. They don't have the ability to be explosive on offense. They don't have the chunk passing game on offense. They haven't all year. And so they just have to minimize those drops. Like, they're a basketball team that will only shoot two-pointers. Hmm. If you're hitting 70% of them, you're great, because you won't shoot threes. But you have to knock them down consistently. The drops are killing them.
Hence Ben Simmons' reference earlier.
Wow, this is why I love you, Dan. Because
you disagreed with her. You didn't even know it.
In my notes, I wrote. I write one note to myself before every segment. And what I wrote.
Try not to minimize Dan.
I wrote, compare the Steelers' offense to Orlovsky's hoops game.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it's nothing at the rim. No three-pointers, all mid-range jumpers.
Try hard, 6 fouls to give.
And listen, you're absolutely right that this has been the case all year. Like, you're not wrong about that, Dan, and your diagnosis of the offense is absolutely right as well.
But the problem is, if you wouldn't have told him all year, he wouldn't know.
That's true.
That's also a really great point.
Be
thank
honest.
You. But the problem is, if you can't run the ball and you're not explosive, your margin of error is this small. And that's the problem with Pittsburgh. Like, Ben Roethlisberger, he played a good game last night, and they're not always going to have that many drops.
Right.
But they have to be perfect in that mid-range to compete with the Chiefs and the Bills and the NFL. And maybe sometimes they'll be perfect, but chances are over the stretch of several games, Marcus, I don't know.
I love your reference about the two-pointers, because if I'm hitting threes, I'm going to beat you.
Hey, and you can hit some threes now.
So here's
has
the thing.
Has he ever hit a three in his life?
No. He has.
A bunch of them.
Watch out.
Anyway, listen, I'm concerned because y'all know I'm old school, right? I'm that guy with this crew that thinks you have to have a run game in order to win in this league. I don't care. It will never change. Listen, for everybody that watches NFL Live and all the newcomers that's going to watch this show, the Swagoo will damn sure tell you you need a run game in order to win in this league. And it's not that you have to hand the ball off 50 times a game, but people have to respect the fact that you can hand the ball off and open up windows. You talk about play action all the time, right? Yeah. And play action, you've taught me from an offensive standpoint that play action is not always handing the football off.
Correct.
And then Mina has re-emphasized that to me as well. But y'all, I'm telling you, if you look at the history of this league, if you look at playoff runs, teams have went to the run in order to win games. They have.
We're in a new era. That's my thing.
It ain't no new era. The MVP of the Super Bowl last year was the running back.
And it shouldn't have been.
For the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you mean it shouldn't have been?
They didn't win because the run game changed.
Damian Williams. Is that the right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Damian Williams.
Exactly.
He was elite in that game.
Listen, I am agreeing with you. I do not think that the Steelers are capable of winning the Super Bowl. But that did not change from yesterday to today. I just want to say one thing.
Say it. We just watched the Bills. They didn't run
it all like this. First down.
And
throw.
They dominated
down,
in the air. This is where me and Orlowski meet.
Listen.
Everyone's going to fall out of their chair, we're going to get back to our breaking news out of Philadelphia, and that's where we go now. Jalen Hurts making his first NFL start Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. Carson Wentz, of course, will be the backup, and Doug Peterson has made this decision as he said he would. He actually said he'd make it on Wednesday, ends up making it a day earlier. So let's bring in Sal Palantonio here to talk more about this. And I know, Sal, you've been in touch with Doug Peterson. What did he tell you about why he made this decision?
Yeah, I texted Doug Peterson this afternoon after Mort and Adam broke the story. The switch was being made to Jalen Hurts. And he said, the same reason I made the switch in the game. We need a spark. It's not about one guy here. We all know we need to be better coach and player. Doing this for the same reason. We need a spark. Offense has been poor for many reasons. Opportunity for Jalen's development. Still have great belief in Carson as a quarterback and a leader of the team. We have to get better. And the offense as well. And I think if you look at the tape of what's happening to the Philadelphia Eagles, they have just not really helped Carson Wentz very much. They're obviously not giving him good protection. He has been stuck in the pocket. Jalen Hurts energized the team in Green Bay by moving out of the pocket, throwing on the run, running with the football. They needed some kind of spark. And that was the bottom line of why Doug Peterson made the switch.
Thanks for that information and for the insight into Doug Peterson's decision. You're in Baltimore. We'll be back with you momentarily ahead of that Ravens-Cowboys game. Let's get back to Adam Schefter with the latest on the Eagles' opponent Sunday. What do we know about the timeline for Drew Brees' return, and which quarterback will get the start?
Well, Laura, Drew Brees is eligible to return off injured reserve this week after missing the last three games with 11 fractured ribs and that punctured lung. It's a situation where the Saints now have the luxury of not having to rush him back because Taysom Hill has won all three of his starts in relief of Drew Brees, just as Teddy Bridgewater won his five starts last year in relief of Drew Brees, giving the Saints an 8-0 record without Drew Brees the last 2 years. Knowing that they could win and knowing that they'll be playing a rookie quarterback, there's no reason to rush Drew Brees. If they believe he's ready, they can turn to him. If not, then they don't have to. They can ride Taysom Hill yet again. But make no mistake about it, Drew Brees is making progress. He's getting closer to a return. He was on the practice field last week throwing a football. He is feeling better. And now the question is when the Saints feel that it's going to be the right time to turn back to Brees. But as it is right now, it looks like it could shape up to be a battle between Taysom Hill and Jalen Hurts. And who would have thought that would have been the case early in the season?
Yeah, who saw that one coming? It's 2020. It's definitely a crazy year. Adam, the other thing, too, the Saints' defense has been really good. They've actually allowed 28 points only in their three games since losing Drew Brees to injury. We're back on NFL Live, and don't look now, but the Giants have reeled off four straight wins after starting the season with a 1-7 record. That's the second longest active win streak in the NFC, trailing only the New Orleans Saints. They've been doing it with defense, ranking in the top five in points per game, yards per game, and defense offensive efficiency since week 9. ESPN's Football Power Index currently gives the Giants a 56% chance to win the NFC East this season. Remember, they own the tiebreaker with Washington, beating them both times this season. After we just saw what Washington did to the Steelers, that's pretty impressive. Hey, Mina, how much of the Seahawks' recent struggles have to do with their quarterback, Russell Wilson?
A fair amount. Okay, so...
What?
I know. Mina Kimes, am about to criticize Russell Wilson. Look, since week 9, Russell ranks 23rd in QBR, second in sack percentage behind one Carson Wentz. And some of that is him, a lot of it is actually him holding on to the ball too long, but a lot of it is what defenses are giving to them. You guys did a great job of highlighting something that we have not only seen New York do to Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay, they have confused them with pressures, and in this game in particular, you saw that Giants defense, which is very well coached, we've been praising them all season, sitting in too high a lot, saying, hey, Russell Wilson, you love throwing the ball deep. We hear you're really good at it. We're not going to let you do it.
Yep.
We are daring you to beat us underneath with a quick game. And I'm going to say this, to run the football. Are you happy now? Are you happy
now?
And this is not... This is not me saying Seattle needs to go back to...
Okay, all right.
Pounding the ground.
They need to sometimes.
But if defenses...
I'm going to take a Mina thing. Whispers.
If defenses are saying... Beat us with a quick game, beat us by running the ball. You know, they need to make defenses respect their ability to do those things in order to get those deep shots, and right now they don't.
So basically, Russ should cook sometimes in order to take out other times.
Yeah, I mean, that's grub up.
Come on, Ed.
I think it's also
like the short
pass game can be a different aspect of your run game, right?
Extension.
What teams are doing is not challenging Russell with protections and blitzes as much as they're challenging the offensive line. The offensive line needs to play better.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Ravens coming off 3 straight losses as they get ready for some Tuesday night football. For more, let's check in at the Domino's pregame headquarters. Sal Palantonio, he's added some headgear. The sun went down, the hat went on. He's a company man, though. He's got the ESPN. I love it. Sal, what can we expect for the Ravens tonight?
You know, Laura, I'm going to get you one of these hats. I'll get one for Avlovsky, and Mina, and everybody on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sal.
It's a great hat. And you would think that after 25 years, I would have another Tuesday night special in my career. And it's true. Eagles, Vikings were snowed out on Monday Night Football, and they played it on a Tuesday. And this is my second Tuesday night special here with the Dallas Cowboys at the Baltimore Ravens. But this one, of course, is much more serious and interesting and intriguing situation, especially for the Ravens. The Ravens had the most serious COVID outbreak of any NFL team, and you could argue of any sports team in North America this year. They had more than 20 players, coaches, and staff on the COVID-19 list, either testing positive or close to someone who did. They still have 6 players on the list, including Pro Bowl tight end Mark Andrews, including Mark Judon, who's one of their most extraordinary defensive players, and, of course, still, they have a lot of players that they're trying to get back from the list, including Lamar Jackson, who's expected to start tonight. It's going to be interesting to see how this team plays this game. They've had such a difficult road getting here, but it's Tuesday night, M&T Bank Stadium, their home. The Cowboys have just arrived. This is going to be a very interesting ball game.
We can't wait to see it. And thanks so much, Sal Powell, for joining us there from Baltimore. We've covered Carson Wentz's struggles thoroughly this season. But what about Lamar Jackson? No quarterback in the NFL has had a larger drop-off in QBR from last season to this one than Jackson, including Wentz. Of course, Jackson was coming off an MVP season in which he led the league in QBR in 2019, but he currently ranks 22nd in the NFL in the metric, which is surely a cause for concern in Baltimore. And we just heard what Sal Powell said about how the Ravens are handling all of this, and specifically as it relates to Lamar Jackson, bringing back Adam Schefter here. What should we expect out of Lamar? You brought up some interesting points off the top of our show.
Well, I don't know that the Ravens know what to expect from Lamar Jackson tonight. And that's the point, Laura. He's missed time due to the virus. This will be his first game back. Had they played this game on Thursday night, as it was supposed to be the case, Lamar Jackson would not have been able to play in that game. But he was activated off reserve COVID yesterday. And so he's fresh off that list. And there have been players in the league who've struggled with their stamina, their conditioning level, their performance. We'll see how it affects Lamar Jackson. Make no mistake about it. He's going to be playing tonight. He will be out there. The question is how well he plays while he's out there, and can he make it through the whole game coming off the last couple of weeks that he's been through? And I think those are questions that people around the league have been wondering these last few days, to see how he comes out and responds tonight. And we won't know, frankly, until we see him do it.
Yeah, a reminder that RG3 is injured, so Trace McSorley would be the option there at quarterback if we see him. We've got time for some game picks here. Let's start with you, Dan. Ravens or Cowboys, and why?
I'm taking the Ravens. I believe there's only ever two groups that can dominate a football game, an offensive line and a defensive line. And the Ravens have the best group that will be on the field. Their defensive line can, should, and will dominate this game. I'm going to take the Ravens.
I'm taking the Ravens as well, but not just because of the defensive line, but because they have a pair of cornerbacks, Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters,
right,
who love taking the football away from offenses, and the Dallas Cowboys have an offense that loves giving away the football. So,
yeah, I'm going Ravens 31-17. I'm going to give you a score as well.
There you go.
For the same reasons. And I also think, like Adam sometimes, Adam, no, Shefty.
Yeah.
Please. Shefty is like always, Shefty sometimes comes in like the dad, like, hey, kids, settle down, okay? We have to think about all of these things that's going to transpire. I really believe that Lamar's going to play well.
Yeah, there you go.
As I've been sitting in this show, as I've been thinking about it, I really believe Lamar's going to play well. And it's really predicated on how Greg Roman deploys him.
Yeah, I'm picking the Ravens, too. And I think it's mainly because of the fight they showed. I know. Because the fight they showed when they didn't have all their guys against the Steelers. They looked really good. All right, we got time for one more thing before we go. Let's get a flashback to my favorite moment from yesterday for this.
What? I had to turn up. Y'all know what time it is.
Balling on a budget.
No! For Little Man Balling.
What?
One of my favorite fun-sized fellas, T.Y. Hilton, became T.Y. Four Seasons. It was tough. They turned him into a T.Y. sandwich.
Yeah.
And he held on.
McNair family, they own the Texans.
But so does T.Y. Hilton. Because the Little Man Balling. That's how you make the most of your fun. Little Man Balling. Mina Kimes, the Little Man Balling.
New segment.
Hey.
Listen, it's great. Little Man Ballin' rocked our socks off yesterday, but then we saw another Little Man Ballin' action. Cole Beasley action.
Are we gonna get him on there?
Cole Beasley.
5'8" or
the
under, Mina. Little Man Ballin', let's go.
You called it.
I gotta say, Dan, I owe you an apology for making fun of you for being awkward, because after seeing my own movements on camera.
I was gonna say it.
I think might be equally bad.
Rock the baby to sleep.
Rhythm.
The only person that's not awkward on this show is actually Marcus
Spears. When social distance is done, I'm gonna rock Mina. We're gonna recreate.
Mina, we will not allow this to happen unless you wanted to.
But I wanted to have it.
Okay, good. All right, so when social distancing is over, we will rock Mina, and you'll just set her down nicely.
Set her down like you did Cole Beasley. We'll make it big man balling with little man balling.
Oh, my God.